Hello and welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle on June 20th, 2020. This is Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance and I welcome you here. It's always so lovely to see the faces of everyone here. We've been holding these Hope Story Circles since March and we're delighted today to have our own Yelena Popovich be our guest. She is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead. She's a mindfulness expert and she has a really rich and warm history to share. But first, I'll hand it off to Liz Gannon-Graydon, who is on our board, and she's going to have a little short introduction.
Great. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to do a short introduction and then a little bit of a meditation on the theme, which is going deeper into our story. And the bridge we took when Yelena decided to join us today with her own story was at the end of last week's call, for those of you who are on, we were talking about this moment and all of the challenges going on. And the question arises, why is it my job? Right? What is my responsibility? And what I observed from my own experience is the answer is very simply, because you are here. And because we are here, this is the work we're here to do. And that really resonated with Yelena, and it prompted her to kind of want to tell her story of how she shows up here in this moment. And when we were talking about, we wanted to meditate just for a few minutes on the importance of story and how story is showing up in the world today. And so when I was thinking about our meditation, I was thinking about a little part that I wanted to read from the book by Charles Eisenstein called The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible. And in it, he talks about shifting from the old story to the new story. And I want to read just a few minutes from an excerpt of his book. Occasionally, something happens that is so awful, so absurd, so manifestly unjust that it penetrates our defenses and causes people to question much of what they had taken for granted. Such events present a cultural crisis. Typically, though, the dominant mythology soon recovers, incorporating the story back. Into their lives. Black children, unfortunate enough to live in a country that still hasn't developed as we have. The Rwandan genocide became about African savagery and the need for humanitarian intervention. The Holocaust became about evil taking over and the necessity to stop it. All of these interpretations contribute in various ways to the old story of the people. Civilization is on the right track, goodness comes through control. None hold up to scrutiny. They obscure, in the two former examples, the colonial and economic causes of the famine and genocide, which are still ongoing. In the case of the Holocaust, the explanation of evil obscures the mass participation of ordinary people, people like you and me. Underneath the narratives, a disquiet persists. The feeling that something is terribly wrong with the world. We need a story of the people, a real one that doesn't feel like fantasy, in which a more beautiful world is once again possible. Various visionary thinkers have offered such stories, but none has become a true story of the people, a widely accepted set of agreements and narratives that gives meaning to the world and coordinates human activity towards its fulfillment. We're not quite ready for that story yet because the old one, though in tatters, still has large swaths of fabric intact. And even when those unravel, we must still traverse naked in the space between stories. In the turbulent times ahead, our familiar ways of acting, thinking, and being will no longer make sense. We won't know what is happening, what it means, and sometimes even what is real. Some people have entered that time already, but we do not have the new story yet. Each of us is aware of some of the threads, but the new mythos has not formed. We will abide for a time in the space between stories. It is precious, and some may say sacred time. The way we are in touch with the real, Each disaster lays bare the reality underneath our stories, the terror of a child, the grief of a mother, the honesty of not knowing why. In such moments, our dormant humanity awakens as we come to each other's aid, human to human, and learn who we are. That's what keeps happening every time there is a calamity before the old beliefs take over again. Now the calamities and contradictions are coming so fast that the old story has not time to recover. Such is the birth process of the new story. So with that in mind, I invite Yelena to talk about, I guess, Yelena, whatever you feel moved, as Anna said, jazzing, if you feel what you want to speak to still fits, about having one foot in an old story and a new story, you can. But I just invite you in this moment to share what is coming up for you and what feels most alive.
Thank you, Liz, and thank you, Terry, for making this all possible. It's hard to follow, Charles. It's hard to follow those words. And it's wonderful to return to this circle today with you all. I really, truly missed everybody last week. The story, really, truly, the story that I want to tell has all the elements that you mentioned, Liz. It's, when we were talking, it's that personal story that oftentimes seems a lot like fiction. And it's certainly a societal story, right? It's all of those stories kind of combined. And often, excuse me. And often right about now, right about either in a second or third sentence of people hearing me speak, I often see curiosity in the eyes of my listeners. And they're really trying over time. At first, I was just not sure what I was. And then I realized they're trying to discern if they recognize the accent. You know, there is this curly hair, brown eyes, that's a check, but that does not fit our schema here often. And because the accent in English does not match the native Spanish speakers. So often it's Brazilian, perhaps. No, maybe it's Czech, right? It's Czech, possibly, right? But more often than not, right about now, right, I get interrupted with, I'm noticing an accent. Where are you from? Well, how much time do you have? Right? So over the years, I have developed this like short or medium, long answers, right, to accommodate. And don't get me wrong, I deeply value curiosity, right? And on some days, I just do not want to hold up a line in a grocery store explaining the origins of my name, you know, my family journey here, or ever needing to share if I'm a US citizen or not. And I had been increasingly in the, you know, last 5-6 years asked just that, are you a US citizen? In coffee shops and grocery store lines and professional meetings and like social gatherings and, you know, doctor's offices, almost always happens in the airplane. You just name it. And right about now, I actually invite you to pause. To consider that question. Are you a US citizen? And when, where, and why might be appropriate to ask it? And even if you never consider asking it, I invite you to pause and notice, what does that bring up for you? And what do you think it brings up in the person that is on the receiving end of that question? What do we really want to know by asking this question? And can we unlearn certain questions? I can tell you what brings up for me. It brings this whole issue of belonging. On the surface, there are only two answers to that question. You either are or you're not. You're either naturalized or you're not. You can either be here or you cannot. So to the first question, I'm noticing the accent, where are you from? My answer became, I'm now here. Of course, you know, I get this questionable gaze, like, and often follow up to this. It's like, okay, but yeah, seriously, like, where are you from? Like, you know, and seriously, I'm now here speaking with you. I'm raising my children here. I'm growing my flowers here. I'm cultivating friendships here. I'm sharing my love here. I'm creating communities of care for educators here. I'm teaching peace in schools here. And yes, my heritage matters. Where I come from is really important to me. And knowing that I'm now here is equally important. Robin Wall Kimmerer, in her incredible book that I have been so in love with, the book is called Braiding Sweetgrass, shares that some of the wisest of the native elders still puzzle over the people who came to these shores. She writes that they look at the toll on this land and say, the problem with all of these new people is they don't have both feet on the shore. One foot is still on the boat. They don't seem to know whether they're standing, they're staying, or not. And that deeply resonated with me as a first-generation immigrant. If I'm constantly asking myself or being asked if I belong here or where I'm from, my feet are more in the boat than they are on the shore. And how am I contributing to either here or there? What is that serving? What I'm speaking of is nothing new. Nothing that generations of people who have landed here either willingly or unwillingly have not asked themselves. And yet, I often wonder what happens when we truly become native to a place. When we finally make a home. And what can I learn from stories of others that can help me see my own story more clearly? Maybe that is why, you know, I was thinking, that is why when the idea of the Hope Story Circle came, and it was, maybe that's why it was so important to manifest it, to hear the stories on which to stand on. So continuing with the braiding sweetgrass, you know, Robin writes, being naturalized to a place means to live as if this is the land that feeds you, and as if these are the streams from which you drink, that build your body and that fill your spirit. To become naturalized is to know that your ancestors lie in this ground. To become naturalized is to live as if your children's future matters. To take care of the land as if our lives and the lives of all depend on it. Because they do. They do. I was given this gift to be here, and it's my responsibility to be here fully with 2 feet on the ground and off the boat. To learn and unlearn as much as I can about this place, that I can help my boys hear the stories that have not yet been told. To hear the stories that we need to reclaim. And to be able to answer my 12-year-old, you know, a question that he asked me yesterday. Can you explain to me, Mom, why Columbus Day is a national holiday and Juneteenth is not? What do we need to do for Juneteenth to become a national holiday? It's been said that 90% of everything we know has been passed along through story. And that's a very good news for us. Very good news. It means that we just need to have courage and willingness to uncover those stories and to listen. So thank you for your attention, for your patience, for staying on this call. And for those of you that are just about now still wondering where I'm from, I was born in the country that does not exist anymore. And so no wonder people are finding it challenging to guess it correctly, right? I was born and raised in Yugoslavia. And by the time I left my country, it changed its name to the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. And now, when I visit my birth city of Belgrade, I go to Serbia. And I'm here in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you so much for listening. That's my story.
Yelena, I just want to thank you for that. And I want us to just hold you in like a collective hug. And gratitude for what you offered. And as we talked about what we wanted to take into the small group work, what I loved when Yelena told us what she wanted to share, and I was thinking of the book that I just finished, and that idea of the old story and the new story. And the inquiry we wanted you to go into the circle with, your small group work, is there something that's keeping you from walking 2 feet into the new story, right? Stepping with both feet into the new story, stepping with both feet into the emerging story. Is there something that's keeping you back? And one of the things that came up for me, and I think this is an interesting time, I was on the phone with a friend of mine who, Anna, I met because she was a student in my middle school many years ago. And she works in a law office, and she doesn't feel particularly welcomed or useful. And she's been working at home. And she said, I'm trying to figure out in the next 2 weeks what I can do to really serve my truth and myself and find a way to make a living that doesn't involve going back to that old way I was doing things. And I think many of us are having those conversations. So what I'd like you to do as your inquiry, as we go into the small groups, is there something that's keeping you with one foot on the boat that keeps you from stepping both feet into the new story you want to tell, the new story you want to participate in? And so I invite Terry to break us up into small groups. We'll have some small discussion group time, and then we'll come back to the larger group to talk about what came alive for us in the small groups.
Right, so for those of you who have not been with us before, how this works is you will get a little message on the screen to join a breakout room. So go ahead and join that room. I'll be doing my best to see that every room has three people in it. There might be one or two that have two or four because we don't have the right number of people, but just accept the invitation. If you get a second invitation, it's because I'm trying to adjust those numbers. So go ahead and take that second one. It's a good one. And also just the agreements. Remember the agreements to speak from your heart and listen from your heart and say just enough and to keep confidentiality in what you're sharing and give each other enough time so that each of you has a moment to share. And if you do not feel moved to share, being there to listen is also a gift. So just remember that. So I'm going to set up the breakout rooms now. And then we'll give you, we started late, but we'll give you 15 minutes. We're gonna go a little bit long today. I hope that's all right for everybody. And give you about 15 minutes, and I'll give you a 3-minute warning before we bring you back into the big room. And then we'll just share what's alive for everyone, if anyone cares to share. So I've opened the rooms, so go join.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Hey.
How's everyone? Is everyone back yet?
Everyone's back.
Well, hello, everybody. Good to see you again. For this part, what we're going to ask is, we know you probably just had a really important, I see a lot of you looking very emotional on your faces coming in from that. Is there anyone who experienced something in the room that felt really important to them and they have a wish to share it?
I'm raising my hand.
Wait, I can't see. Who's raising?
Bonnie.
Okay, Bonnie.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you guys for coordinating us. Somebody had a very instinctive coordination for me because I met a very lovely person that I am looking forward to maybe continuing to know. And we had a very interesting discussion. One of the things that came up for us, we not just on the question itself that you asked us, but on the talk that was being given to us, having to do with our heritages. And what came up was the interesting concept that a lot of people don't realize some people go through. And that is when they come from heritages that they realize may not have all the aspects that they want to bring and continue into this world, that then the decision, a very serious decision, gets made of not wanting to have any children. And we discussed even about bringing it into the big room because we realize a lot of people don't go through that. They go through this, you know, joy or this concept and everything about having children and everything. And I didn't even get a chance to mention this in my room. there's a fascinating film that got made by somebody who interviewed the children of the Nazis leaders. And a lot of them realized that they didn't want to have children because they didn't want to chance what their children would be like to what their parents were like and things like that. Even though they weren't in that space, they were concerned about the genes. And it's just, it's a interesting spin to the story of how somebody can actually be caring for the world, loving the world, and the way they want to make those steps is by drawing a line of this stops here.
Wow. Thank you, Bonnie, for sharing that. Is there someone else who would like to share what came up for them? You can either unmute yourself or maybe Terry could unmute you. I'm trying to look for hands.
I'm not seeing anyone raise their hands. Tom, can you unmute yourself or shall I unmute you? There you go.
Oh, wait.
Oh. I think you can unmute yourself. I think.
There we go.
There we go. Hi, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Yelena. Thank you, David. And Stephen, or the man in Puerto Rico. What I want to point out is I put some things in the chat. And that's the best I can say to all of you about story and about the way I live my story. And it's about being in the present moment. It's about being on the spiritual path. It's about understanding that we are spiritual beings and we're here to live in this three-dimensional realm in order to grow spiritually. And whatever our story is, whatever anybody's story is, the reason it's there is to motivate us to grow closer to kindness and to love in every moment. That's my story. That's how I live my story. That's how I go out into other people and serve those people, whether they're abused women and children or elderly people or cancer survivors. It's about service and it's about finding what means something to you and living that story that takes you to that meaning. And the last thing I have to say is Kathy and I are healers. And whenever we run into something that is difficult, that's the clue that says, this is something I need to heal. This is something I need to transcend. And I work with people all the time to transcend those self-limiting beliefs, attitudes, habits, to go into greater fulfillment of my purpose of my life. I believe that's the central story, and kindness is the theme of America and of the world today. It's all about kindness, and can I do something for you? Can I do something for you? My email address is on there. If anybody wants to connect with me, then I'll do whatever I can for you. But it starts with your self-reflective self-awareness. I put that all in my chat, self-reflective self-awareness. If I can help you, let me know.
Thank you, Tom.
Be at peace.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Kathy.
Is there anyone else who wanted to share what came up? And I'm sure it was a part. Yeah.
Steve.
Can you want to unmute
yourself? Can you unmute yourself?
Okay.
There you
can
go.
You hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah. I think what's come up for me during this today, it's actually, I'm really glad I tuned in. Just an appropriate discussion for myself, but also what I've been thinking about and what I work on, is having 2 feet, 1 foot in one world, 1 foot in the other. And so for me personally, it's there, but I think for our country, it's there. Some fundamental change is happening in the U.S. and in our lives, and everyone is reacting. Some people, you know, it's okay. Some people just don't want to look at it, but we're having, momento, por favor. Hold on just a minute. My landlord just walked.
Okay. It's one of those days.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be more than a moment. Is there someone who would like to share in the meantime, and we'll pick up the thread with Steve?
David?
Good. Yeah, I think we're all being interrupted by our landlord. And we have to ask ourselves, am I just renting this place temporarily? Or do I belong here? Is this my place? And when Elena used that word belonging, I resonated immediately.
Yeah.
Because that's always a question for me. It's a very alive question.
Mm. Thank you, David. Steve will pick back up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think just the transition going in the U.S. Is fundamental, and I think it's historic, and I think that of course affects people fundamentally as well, and our sense of stability. As we discussed in our little group, you know, I raised the issue when I would come back to the U.S. from my overseas work. It was just so nice because the U.S. just reminded me of the Shire. It was people. Yes, it was inward looking, but it was quiet. It was calm. It was simple. It was really safe from the places I came from, especially. And so now that's totally changed.
Wow.
To the point where my friend, she doesn't even want to go back to the U.S. anymore. She wants to stay here.
Wow.
So that's what's going on.
Thank you, Steve. Terry, do we have time for one more share?
If someone is eager to, yes. Otherwise, we'll begin the close.
Okay. Is there someone who would like to share something that came up for them?
Linda? Yeah. Linda, can you unmute yourself?
I just want to say thank you for bringing all of us together on this continuing journey. We were talking in our group that we don't always listen to others. And I think that everyone in this group does such a beautiful job of listening. And it's something that if we continue in our practice, our world will continue to heal and get better. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Yelena made my, normally, for those of you who aren't on before know that I usually do the closing, and Yelena made my closing very easy because she shared a poem with us yesterday, and Terry and I thought it was going to be a really perfect close.
I agree, and Yelena, will you give me just a moment to say just a couple of things before you go there?
I'm sorry?
Give me just a moment to say just a couple of things.
Oh, sure.
Again. Good.
More time.
I just want to share a couple of links in the chat. First of all, we are the Peace Alliance, and our website is here. And the Peace Alliance, our mission is to empower civic action toward a culture of peace. So if you'd like to become more involved, you can go there and join us to get our emails if you haven't already. The podcasts for all of our Hope Story Circles are published. They can be found at Podbean or Apple, wherever you find podcasts, but there is a link where you can find it. We're also promoting the Blueprint for Peace, and it's a wonderful action that you can take that will send messages to all of your state and federal elected officials in one action, promoting all the peace-building strategies and structures that we support and policies that support those strategies and structures. So I encourage you to go to that link and click on the Blueprint for Peace and send that message to your elected officials and share it with your personal network. And last, if you're so inspired and able to, we are a small nonprofit and we would appreciate any donations you might offer. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so grateful that we have these weekly meetings. And as a reminder, we will be here next week, but we will not be here the week following. The week following is July 4th. It's United States Independence Day, and it's a holiday. So we will not be here that day. Okay, Liz.
Yeah, and I just, my neighbor was mowing their lawn, so I just wanted to close my back window while we do our closing. So when we were meeting yesterday, Yelena had shared a poem that was meaningful to her, and both Terry and I agreed it would be a good closing. And some of you may know the author. His name is Matty Stepanek, and he was a young writer who wrote a book of poetry, and he died at the age of 13. I met him through Oprah, kind of watching her show where she introduced him. And we want to share one of his poets. It's called For Our World, and he wrote it in the wake of September 11th, 2001. For our world, we need to stop, just stop. Stop for a moment before anybody says or does anything that may hurt anyone else. We need to be silent, just silent. Silent for a moment before we forever lose the blessing of songs that grow in our heart. We need to notice. Just notice. Notice for a moment before the future slips away into ashes and dusts of humility. Stop, be silent, and notice. In so many ways, we are the same. Our differences are unique treasures. We are a mosaic of gifts to nurture, to offer, to accept. We need to be, just be for a moment, kind and gentle, innocent and trusting, like children and lambs, never judging or vengeful, like the judging and vengeful. And now let us pray, differently, yet together, before there is no earth, no life, no chance for peace. So that's our offering to you as a closing. We want us to just sit in the moment. Listen, I like that. Notice one another, listen to one another, be silent when silent is called for. So we're really thankful for those of you who've been present on the call today. And I know Terry's gonna open it up so we can kind of just all wave and say goodbye to one another and take us into the new week full of the story that we wanna take into the week ahead. Thank you, everybody.
Everyone can unmute themselves.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you,
Dave.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Great meeting you.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.